All right. Thank you, worship team. And Mike, if I'd have known we'd had a full-on fiddle going today, I'd have wore my boots. That was awesome, right? You know, I think sometimes we just show up here on Sunday morning, we take for granted the work that it takes to go to put together the worship team. So again, John leading that and all of those volunteers to come out and do this, thank you for what you do. Good morning, Trinity. My name is Dave Kess. I'm one of the elders here. My wife, Lindy, and I have been coming here for, let's just say, a quarter century. And welcome to those of you that are online. I get a chance to continue in the series we are calling Word to the Wise, and a message that I'm sharing today called Words Matter. Okay? Words matter. And what we're going to be talking about is the concept of our speech and our words that we share with people. So in this, you know, if you just think about it, and because I was getting ready for this, I did, think of what goes into speech, right? The muscles, the diaphragm that draws air into your lungs push it up then across your vocal cords, up through your mouth, your tongue and your lips and your teeth form together sounds that come together to make words, because we've learned that. So it's not just a physiological thing, it is also a mental and intellectual thing. You have to know and understand the meaning of the words that you're trying to use, that you're trying to communicate with somebody. But not only that, right? It's your morals and your values and your integrity that all comes through in your words, right? So words matter in that. And so leading up to this, I reached out to a couple of different people. One of those was Deb Ruskell. She's a licensed speech and language pathologist. She's been doing that for a long time. And I said, okay, Deb, I just want to understand, you know, how do people learn words and how does that go through? And we had a great conversation, and I won't have time to get into most of it, but just a couple of different things. One of the things she shared is that language really has two components. There is expressive language where somebody uses their words and changes the tone of their voice or the volume, that all of those things that are affected. But not only that, as I move my hands or I look in or I lean back or I step back, you're reading all of those things that I'm expressing. That goes into that language. But what really kind of surprised me was she said the second part of that is the receptive language, and it's actually more advanced than the expressive. So as all of you are sitting there, you're assessing the words that I'm using, the way that I move about, the motions that I might make with my hand, whether I'm really loud and direct or whether I'm soft, and all of those things factor into. So when you think about it, you may not understand everything that I'm trying to get across, but you're processing so many different pieces of information. And since she said the receptive language is more developed than the expressive, I think that just has to do with the fact that we hear from a lot of different people, and we hear a lot of different ways and methods and honestly, different languages as well, so that we need to learn to process all of those things, where sometimes we stumble over our words and trying to think exactly how do I say what I want to say, and we struggle trying to convey our feelings to somebody. So that's the speech part about it. The other thing that Deb shared was just how kids learn, right? They're newborn babies, the sounds, the cooing, and it's emulating what they're seeing from the people around them. They start to make those sounds, and they start to connect actions that people take based on those sounds. And by the time a child is a year old, they can recognize about 50 words. By the time they're 3, it's up to 1,000. By the time they're 5, it's up to 10,000. And at 20 years old, which I would still call a kid, but that's a separate issue. 20 years old, it's up to 42,000. And by the time you're 65, it's up to 48,000 different words that you're able to recognize and acknowledge. Now, I know most of us don't use 48,000 separate distinct words around here. Well, maybe Lee Bigler does, but anyhow. You know I love you, Lee. All right, we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Words matter. Solomon, they matter so much to him that words have value so much that this craftsman who would create this gold and silver item, that Solomon's saying, a word fitly spoken. Fitly spoken just means to me that it's the right word at the right time to the right person. And think about those times that that's made a difference in your life. And it's a gift. And that's what this proverb talks about. So not only is a word fitly spoken like apples of gold in a setting of silver, but our words, or in continuing in that, our words matter to those around us, okay? Our words matter to those around us. Now, if there's any question about this, can I just see a show of hands from all of the husbands and wives that are here that say that, that would agree that your spouse's words to you matter? Okay? And I got to be candid. My wife said, are you going to talk about this? And I said, yeah, I probably will. Right? When you put yourself out there and say, yeah, I can preach a message and I can talk about our words mattering and communication, and we struggled. We struggled for the last, I don't know, couple, 3 weeks or whatever, just to communicate on basic things without getting each other offended. I mean, literally, last Saturday, we're at my daughter's house, and she's pointing out a book that they've used in their marriage to help them connect. And we came home on Sunday the next day, and we were disconnecting, and I said, I'm ordering that book. So I ordered it. She said, I'm not doing it. I said, I don't care. You don't have to do it, because I'm going to do it, because I need to better understand me and you. So we both did the book and took an assessment. And now we still have a lot more work to do. But it, just putting that little bit of time and effort into it has helped us to reconnect a little bit, because instead of thinking about all the other things that we have to do, we're connecting on the words and stuff that go on. So words matter. So certainly within the context of our families, words matter, husbands and wives. But with children, as Deb had shared, the brain of a newborn child is so elastic, it's capable of absorbing so much information that the words that get said around them are really, really important. And I would just say that it's important for each of us to be very conscious of the words that we say, not only to our children, but around our children, right? Because you may say, oh, I'm really good with, you know, being intentional with this, but then the kids are playing in the next room, you don't realize it, and you're saying something to somebody else that they shouldn't be hearing, right? Or that isn't God-honoring with that. So at that point, I would just say something I heard a while back, and I probably won't quote it correctly, but the point is still the same, is that one of the worst things we can do for our children's faith is to act one way at church and a different way at home. And I would say that applies to our words as well. When you speak in a certain way here face-to-face with somebody or here in the building, and yet you're driving out of the parking lot and they're hearing a different conversation that goes on, it's going to be really difficult for that child to reconcile how important church is and how important a faith community like we have here at Trinity really is. So I would encourage you to consider that when you use your words. All right, so our words matter to our families. The next one I would say is our words matter to another group of people, and that is this body called the church here at Trinity. And I just want to touch on, first of all, that in Proverbs, there's a verse that talks about that, you know, seven things that God hates. And one of those seven things is one who sows discord among the brothers, one who sows discord among the body. There's another proverb, 26:20 says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. I love the word picture, right? We all know if you don't continue to feed the fire won't continue to burn. And if we quit whispering or gossiping, that discord no longer has fuel to work with anymore. And when I say gossip, right, we all know that's not what should be consistent with the follower of Jesus. But sometimes we fall into that trap where we hear something and we fall into that Christian gossip, right? Where we might hear something, a prayer request over here, but we might tell somebody else about that. Boy, did you know what's going on with them? Just be very, very careful. If your thoughts and your motives are not God-honoring and about prayerfully considering how God might be able to step in and help in that situation. You're best to just not say anything. The other one that I'd just like to touch on is sometimes in the church you might find that you disagree with something that's said from up here, right? You might find that today. If you have an issue with something that I say or that somebody says from here or a decision that's made from the church, I would encourage you to seek wise counsel, to talk through it, right? That doesn't mean go to somebody who you know is going to agree with you and be offended about something, because it's important to understand whether it is foundational truth or whether it is preference. And I just wanted to say that if you still struggle with it after praying about it and talking with somebody else, reach out to one of us on the elder board. There's an email available to us. We would love to be able to help you work through anything that's there, answer any questions, maybe explain why something happened. But I will just tell you that our staff and our pastors here, it's a tough job. The burdens and the care that they have for this body is amazing. So I just encourage you, if you have questions and you need answers, reach out to us on the elder board. We'd be glad to help you. All right, the next group, right? So we talked about our words matter to our families. We talked about our words matter here within the church, and our words matter to the lost, right? The world around us sometimes seems like they're just waiting for us to fail. I was thinking about when I first started working. I spent 9 years in the Army. I got out, and then I ended up getting a job, and I was a brand new believer starting that job. Literally, I gave my life to Christ on Friday. And on Monday, I started the new job. And so it was very obvious to everybody about there that I was all full of the Holy Spirit and wanting to move forward in this and talking to people about it. But they also became evident that I didn't use some of the language that was commonplace in the workplace. I was certainly familiar with it. I did spend 9 years in the Army. And so, I don't know, a few months down the road, I was on the phone, because I literally was telephone customer service inbound, right, where they're calling me with complaints and issues every day, all day long. And one particularly challenging conversation with a banker, and it was just, I it was so frustrating, and I hung up the phone, and from the other side of the cube wall, I heard that. I heard that. She did, because the lost are watching us as well. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody recently, and she said at her job, when one of her coworkers found out she was a believer in Jesus Christ, she said, "Well, I'm looking forward to the time when your faith cracks, when you go through a difficulty in your life." Our words matter to the people around us, and the lost needs to hear the truth. Romans 10:14 says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" That's not talking about what I'm doing here. That's talking about us carrying the light of Jesus Christ into the world and making a difference in the people around us. And being able to share the truth with a world that's lost. All right, so we talked about our words matter, family, within the church, and with the lost. But I do want to pause here for just a second, because one of the things that I do not want to do is think that this is somehow behavior modification. If I just do these things, "Well, Dave, you made some good points, and you know what, it probably does make sense if I do that. And I'll just wear a rubber band on my wrist, and every time I say a bad word, I'll snap it, so pretty soon I'll stop saying bad words." That's not what we're talking about here. See, the gospel of Jesus isn't about modifying your behavior. It's about an issue of the heart. And our words matter because our speech is a product of our heart. Our words matter because our speech comes from our heart. So sometimes when you're up here, you'll see, or when you come to church, you'll see whoever's preaching will share a little bit of insight from a a pastor or a Bible scholar or something to help illuminate a piece of scripture or a concept that they're talking about, right? I know we've heard from Charles Spurgeon and different people at different times, right? I want to use a different first century rabbi to illuminate a little bit. His name's Jesus. You might have heard of him. In Luke 6, verse 45, Jesus speaking says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, I do want to just touch on this a little bit. Jason, I think, touched on this a few weeks ago, but in biblical terms, when they referred to the heart, right, it was not just the organ within your chest that pumps blood or makes you feel sappy in love with somebody. The heart was that full consciousness of your intellect, your spiritual, your morals, your decision-making, all of those things. It was all tied to the heart. So when Jesus is talking about our heart, he's talking about our full consciousness of who we are. And then when you look at it from that context and say, from the abundance of who you are is what your mouth speaks. Some of you are familiar with the term a Freudian slip, right? You didn't intend to say that, but it came out. And the Freud's theory was that your subconscious really felt that way and you were trying to say something different, so your subconscious stuck this word in there. I think it fits with what Jesus is saying. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is speaking. My friend Tim Pace said, "Our speech is the litmus test of our heart." Think about that for a moment. Our speech is the litmus test of our heart. What does that reveal about us? Proverbs 16:23 says, "The heart of the wise makes speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips." That's how I want to be identified, as the heart of the wise. Because when we talk about wisdom and foolishness in Proverbs, we're talking about our moral character, our faith. So I want to be right with Christ and have that be what comes out. So finishing up on speech as a product of our heart, we should be asking ourselves the question of, what is it that fills our heart? What is it that fills our being? This world is so full of distractions. It's so easy to let other things cut in on us. And instead of following along and trusting where God is leading us, we get distracted with other things. Jesus laid it out. He said, it's out of the good or the evil that is the abundance. And if it's not good, there's only one other option. We're either honoring God with our life or we're not. All right, not only do our words matter to the people around us, and because our speech is a product of our heart, our words matter because we are created in the image of God. We are created in the image of God. And if we're created in the image of God and our words matter, then God's words matter, right? Our heart influences our speech because we're made in the image of God, and we should consider God's words then. Genesis 1. The phrase, "and God said," occurs 8 times in Genesis 1. And you know what happened, right? God said, "Let there be light, and let there be darkness. Let there be sun and moon and stars in the sky. Let there be earth, let there be water. Let there be fish in the sea and birds in the air and animals and creeping things." God's words gave his thoughts and his heart a whole new dimension. He spoke and it existed. Now, if we talk about God's word in creation there, God spoke another time to create. When God spoke into existence, the personification of his son, Jesus. It was a new creation. It was a new creation that had never been seen before. Fully God and fully man in this person, in this man we know as Jesus. The gospel writer John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14 he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. So we've seen the glory of Jesus, and he says, which is the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a principle here that God's glory is manifested in the God-man, Jesus, who was created when God spoke him into existence as his word. This new creation of this body for his son. And not only is it the glory, but he's full of grace and truth. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to live by. Grace and truth. Colossians 1 goes on, and Paul talking to Gentiles and says, but God has revealed this mystery in this, because the mystery is Christ in you, and it is the glory and the hope of glory. See, that's what this is about. God's glory, where Jesus existed with God in glory before the creation of the world. God spoke, created the world into it, looking ahead, knowing that one day he would send his son Jesus. He spoke Jesus into existence, his word on earth, fully God and fully man, with the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth, to dwell within us. That's what needs to be in our heart. That's what needs to be in our existence. That is why the overflow and the abundance of what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. So what does your speech tell you about the condition of your heart? James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. With it, he's specifically referring to the tongue, but I think the speech is the same thing. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Amen. These things ought not to be so. In addition to Deb Ruskell, I also had a conversation with Janita Pace, again, a longtime part of this body. And Janita is a licensed counselor. And I said, because I wanted to know how words make a difference in people's lives, right? From a counselor's perspective, how much of what you're dealing with from a mental health and an emotional health are the result of words that have been said? And again, a wealth of information that came through, and I'll paraphrase, and hopefully I do it justice and it makes sense, back to that expressive and receptive language thing we were talking about earlier. So she said, spoken words have a huge influence and impact on the culture of our minds, okay? So spoken words matter to us internally in our minds. She said, we are always building our impression of reality, and others contribute to that work. What people say about you and around you and to you make a difference in how we view the reality of who we are. So let's just take a short little break here. Take a moment and think of something that has been said to you at some point in your life. Could be positive, maybe it's not. Is there something that's been said to you that you can't unhear? On the positive side, it may have changed your whole direction in your life. May have changed a career, may have changed a relationship. On the negative side, it may be a burden that you're continually trying to get rid of. and the negative self-impression that you're still dealing with. Chances are the words that you're remembering come from a time of strong emotion, as the parts of the brain that process memories and the parts of the brain that process feelings and emotions are very closely connected. So if you know that that happens to you, are you giving the people around you solid building blocks of a foundation? Are you speaking grace and truth into the people around you? Those words that are stuck in our mind can either build grace and truth, or they can hide grace and truth. But it's not just the words that we say to others. It's the words that we say to ourselves. If there are those of you here today that the words that have been spoken to you that are hurtful, the you are and the you never and you will always and you're never going to be, those are not words of grace and truth. And I know it's hard to not speak those. And through that process, someone may have convinced you that you are something other than God, than what God says you are. So one of the interesting things that Janita shared with me, she said, when I have my clients and I talk to them, I ask them to pray. I ask them to pray in words out loud, because it's such a big, scary monster inside our head. But putting it into words confines it. It identifies it. God already knows. He already knows about the big hairy monster going on inside your head. But she encourages people to be able to name what they're dealing with, to understand. I had a similar experience. 6 weeks ago, I was talking with somebody about some frustration that I was going on in my life, and they just asked a question and asked me to clarify it. And I found myself, the more that I was saying what I was struggling with to them, it was identifiable. And when it was identifiable, it was manageable. But just not even putting it into words, it was so crazy big and just seemed like it was rolling. But putting it into words made me go, why is that such a big deal? And we can do the same thing with God. God's not afraid of the words that we speak to him. So let him hear all of your doubts, all of your fears, all of your frustrations, all of the things that people have told you who you are. And then let him answer back with grace and truth. So in order for you to speak grace and truth back into your life, you need to know God's word. You need to spend time in God's word. That's where the truth comes from. And I would encourage you to read it as a letter to you personally. Sometimes we get the big pronouns that said, God so loved the world, right? But if you're part of the world, that means God so loved you. So I just want to finish with this last thought. You are who God says you are, and that is the truth. You are who God says you are. So I just want to share a little bit of what that is. God's word says he loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to save you. God's word says everyone, which means you too, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God says if you confess your sins, he will forgive you and make you clean. He doesn't say, unless it's these sins over here. He says, if you confess your sins, he will forgive you and make you clean. God says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away, and there's a new you. And God's word says that God's love is so great that you should be called a child of God. and you are a child of God. Because you are who God says you are. And that is the truth. Let's pray. Father God, Almighty God, Creator of all things, seen and unseen, you spoke this world into existence. You spoke your word through human authors to be recorded in the Bible. You spoke and your word became flesh in your Son Jesus. You continue to speak to us here. And for those that you are speaking to in their heart right now, Father, I pray that they would respond to you, that they would not walk out of here today and go back to the other voices that tell them that they are something other than who you say they are. Father God, I just pray that your Spirit would pursue them until they fall to their knees and say, I want to trust you when you say you're going to forgive me. I want to trust you when you say that I'm a new creation. I want to trust you when you say that you love me enough to give me your Son. And Father, I just pray that you would be glorified, that the love that you have for us individually would be manifested in a way that builds that love in the words that we speak with others of hope and encouragement and grace and truth. That you are glorified in us, your people, being your ambassadors and your witnesses to carry your truth to the world. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.